This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 30th of May, 1957. The title of this lecture is Outline of a Course and Its Purpose. This lecture is 59 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is May the 30th, 1957. Talk to HPHCA. On CCH and general training. I want to talk to you about the general modus operandi of what we're trying to put together. Okay? For 7 years, we have been trying to train auditors. Various regimens of one kind or another have been developed, and those which were any good at all have been preserved. And you see those today in the communication course, what we call Upper INDOC and CCH. Now, here is a great oddity. We have actually overshot with our processes the ability of the auditor to perform. Now, we've done that in many cases before, to get somebody to run an engram was a little bit arduous. To get somebody to run 2 or 3 years ago old opening procedure by duplication, old op pro by dupe, later called book and bottle, which was rather complex compared to op pro by dupe 57, tone 40. But that, for the first time, overshot Homo sapiens' ability to perform. Very often Homo sapiens went by the boards trying to run this, as you can see. I had to just give up. I just could not stand it. They stood there and watched somebody go through these evolutions, and they would quit. They would quit cold, for one excuse or another, pretty clear be full of somatics, and they would just quit. Because it was too hard on them to duplicate that much command, that much performance. And we were looking there some years ago at a future, and we didn't even understand we were looking at the future. I didn't take into account the fact that if processes were developed which would crack up cases like mad, and put people into a very, very good, excellent state, who would run the processes? Now, that's a fascinating question. Who would run the processes? CCH contains in it a great many steps which are very old and very simple. But it also contains in it a number of tone 40 processes which are not very simple. They are very arduous. They look simple. They have a number of complex things in them. And they are not really within the realm of Homo sapiens on any kind of an average basis to perform. And the problem is simply, how do you get someone to run processes which adequately take care of cases? Now that's quite a question. The answers to that question lie in the COM course and the INDOC course. Now, if you want to see processing, your course would look at an auditor who was in pretty good shape, running a pre-clear on processes adequate to take care of the pre-clear's case, right? They'd have to be processes that could take care of the case. Naturally, they would be processes which would re-stimulate Homo sap's bank. Naturally. And to get close to them, even, would mean quite a repercussion. In other words, running these processes is not the easiest thing which a person ever did. If he is holding on to any inhibition against running them. So we had to develop two methods of clearing somebody. One is relatively artificial, but is nevertheless effective. And the other one is just by straight processing. One is educational and practice, and the other is by address to a person who is not being educated in anything save his own reactions. So training today comes very close to processing. And if you wanted to be rather bad in summing it up, you'd say, well, training is about the toughest processing there is. That's not a very accurate statement. But training today subjects individuals to a considerable amount of re-stimulation. You can see that. Rough. It's almost as rough as sitting on some PC's chest and trying to run a CCH tone 40 process on it. It's a very amazing thing. You possibly early in training wouldn't credit it. But if you were to run good tone 40, give me your hand, on somebody who was up the spout, and go right ahead and run it, yes, you'd clear him. You'd clear him out of that level, at least. But you certainly would have an interesting time doing it. Reminds me of an auditor who recently told me he had run a puppy through 8C, just a dog. And the dog screamed and screamed and screamed and screamed. And it was a good thing that he got to a tiny little spot where he could flatten it, because he could no longer carry the dog around. The dog was too heavy, and he was having to pack the dog all over the room. Well, now, this sort of thing is expected as a reaction to a tone 40 process. If someone is down below the level of being unable to control screams, when you run a tone 40 process on him, he is going to scream. Do you see that? That's open and shut. But because we are quickly and immediately addressing the source of his difficulty, he doesn't continue to scream. That is the only blessing in it. He passes through this scream band and comes up on the other side. But if we ourselves are allergic to screams, and we are running this fellow, every fiber of our being tells us, stop, you're torturing the poor fellow, quit it. Which would be the most inhuman thing you could do. So we must assume that aberration is basically very inhuman. Or maybe basically very human, and that we are merely being upper human in some fashion. Nevertheless, we have parted company with Homo sapiens because we have a number of things which Homo sap cannot do. If you just at random pull somebody in off the street and you said, now sit down here in this chair and say to this fellow, give me your hand, and then put his hand back in his lap and thank him, and you just do that for the next 15 minutes, I don't care what shape the fellow was in that you brought off the street, I can guarantee you that he wouldn't do it. Not because he isn't willing, perhaps, but because he's totally unable to. A repetitive action having to do with a total control of somebody else's arm is something he is educated to believe would be very, very bad. He just can't follow through a duplication of this character. Well, now, how do we take somebody and pull him up the line to a point where he can handle such a thing without at once going into a total clearing operation lasting maybe 500 hours. It's not possible. There aren't enough people to audit enough people. Yes, everybody would get there, that's for sure. You'd have to start with one or two or three, and every now and then auditors have suggested to me that I audit somebody up to a state of clear and then get this person to audit two people, and then each one of those audit two, and we would have it all set. Well, that is just fine. There's nothing wrong with it, except it is not workable. It wouldn't work. By the time you got out to about four people distant, something would have been lost somewhere because no training specialization had taken place. Do you see that? The individual in the second place would no longer be interested. His surfeit of games would be such that he would say, well, that's fine. I wonder what's wrong with these people. He wouldn't have any education involved in it. So the track has to be taken on a different route, and that route is the track of education. Rough education. The only way I know of to accomplish anything like a broad beneficial goal in this particular respect would be to just crowd it on, pour on the coal, bring the people up through the various indoctrination levels and bring them up to a point where they could then audit CCH. Now, that is pretty good. I know it can be done. I have seen it done rather uniformly, rather easily. And the only reason it can be done is because we have developed another route, and that route is Comcourse and Upper Indoc, the various training processes, and we have an individual develop certain skills. These are definite skills, and these skills are more natural and native to a thetan in good shape than being able to do perhaps some complicated human evolutions, because those are mainly confusion and this sort of thing. So we develop in an individual these skills, and we bring him up to a point where he can perform across the level of CCH, and you will find out that this is a possibility. But what happens as we are trying to indoctrinate somebody up to a level of being able to handle such a powerful thing as CCH? You get restimulation. You get all sorts of kickbacks of various kinds. You get unrest of one sort or another. You get an absolute certainty on some individual's part that right this minute he's got to be processed because he can't go another foot. If he has to say hello to that ashtray just one more time, much less to sit down, why, he's sure that he'll go up the spout. We get this reaction every now and then. He says, well, if I just get flunked one more time in running high school indoc, I'll just be the finish of me. I just can't keep this fellow under this much control for this length of time. Look at him. He's trying to fall on the floor, and he's clawing at me, and he won't obey, and just like my brother used to do to me all the time, and I just can't take it anymore. Well, the answer to it is, take it more. That is always the answer. The way out is the way through. Rough as it may seem. But to permit somebody to go on to CCH, unless he has gone all the way through with total success, the basic 9 steps, is adventurous. It is quite adventurous. And for that reason, we are composing an HCA course as follows. Com course. Teach somebody the formulas, the formula of communication, and the exact stress on communication that he'll have to audit. Now, that in itself did a great deal for the training of auditors. That was pretty good. Not bad at all. Made some very fine auditors with what we used to call the indoctrination course. Then when CCH turned up in its combination, and the basic formula of CCH is a little bit different, and the processes, even though they're old, as they fit into CCH, have a slightly different significance, it became necessary to develop the remaining steps. And the steps which are above the five steps of the COM course, really six steps, since there is the basic step of just sitting there and looking at somebody, go up from 8C, which is just plain 8C, and then into high school indoc, and then into tone 40 on an object, and then once more we see 8C, but now in a very, very strict form, and we call it tone 40 on a person, which is not tone 48C. Tone 40 on person is a training process in which the person who is, quote, being processed, unquote, is doing everything he can do to break somebody down from tone 40. Well, there are the steps, the training steps. Dear Alice, acknowledgement, duplicative question, PC origination, hand mimicry, and, of course, that fundamental step of just sitting there and looking at somebody. Added to this, we have 8C, which is handling and marching around somebody else's body. Then handling and marching around somebody else's body, who is doing his level best to stop you and knock you off of it. And then the ability to put an intention into MEST. We generally overlook the fact that people are about 100% MEST. Thetan having no weight, mass, wavelength, of course, can't be counted in this. And this thing you're lugging around is MEST. And individuals get an allergy to addressing just MEST. And we have to get somebody over that rather thoroughly before we can really get him to address a whole person or the actions of a person. When we've got him then so that he can actually project an intention and project an acknowledgement, get something to receive his thanks, then we can move up into tone 40 on a person. At that time, probably, the person should be sent back through the COM course. And having gone through the COM course again, he probably should be sent back through the upper indoc course. So we are composing a course which runs as follows. An individual comes in, registers, and receives some auditing. That auditing, probably on the basis of tone 48C. This puts him into a little bit better shape. And we then take this individual and put him into the COM course. Well, he learns some of the basic facts of communication. He learns to acknowledge. He learns to put out a question. He learns to put up some show of being an auditor. And we move him out of there into the upper indoc course. And the upper indoc course is 1 week long, and it starts with, of course, 8C, moves on up through high school indoc, moves on up through tone 40 on an object, and then moves into tone 40 on a person. 2 days of that course are devoted to tone 40 on an object. The two units there are actually different than the CCH unit. They should be. Because when an individual moves up into the study of CCH, he should be in a frame of mind that he can handle it. So he isn't still stumbling over intentions. So he isn't stumbling over acknowledgments. So surprising things don't throw him off sideways. He shouldn't go on learning indoctrination while he is doing a study of CCH. Because he never learned CCH. All he's learning is the COM course and the upper indoc course while he's going through the motions of CCH, don't you see? And a great deal of turbulence can occur in a class, and a great deal of fatality, apparent fatality, can occur through trying to drill somebody on intentions while he's trying to do, give me your hand. You see, that's really too much to look at the same time. He should know all about intentions and be able to do this supremely well before he gets on to give me your hand. Now, in getting the HCA, HPA course into line, we have had some randomity, but the randomity is not a week old or 3 weeks old. It is really 9 years old. It began the first time I ever tried to teach anybody how to audit. I didn't believe that an individual could be that abstruse or obtuse as the first person I tried to teach how to audit. And I didn't think it was possible for anybody to imagine so many ways to do things wrong. Now, we will put aside an effort I made to teach a psychoanalyst to audit. When I first adventured upon that in 1949, I thought this would be rather easy. The man was accustomed, after all, I thought, to sitting in a psychoanalytic room and listening to patients and so forth, and it was a complete failure. And I never really put my finger on it until recently. What was so much of a failure about this? Well, the fellow wasn't listening anymore. He didn't know that there was a right way to do things because he didn't know there was anything that could be done. His basic certainty on the whole thing was that it was a good way to make a living. As far as psychoanalysis was concerned, he had never seen any of these miraculous things that Freud had talked about. He'd read his textbooks, and he was perfectly willing to believe those, but never in his experience had anything really occurred. Two or three times he'd had individuals experience a momentary relief, and that was all interesting, and he experienced this momentary relief and so forth, and it was all gone 2 days later. So it was his opinion that if anybody got well, they would get just as sick again or sicker in about 2 or 3 days. So please, what was he doing? What was this fellow doing? Well, he was doing the same thing as most people in that profession get down to doing. He was doing a job of sitting in an office, and it gave people with neurotic tendencies a place to go. But nothing else was happening, and this individual had no basic reality on the fact that he himself, as a practitioner, could do anything for anybody. As a result, of course, he was a very sick man. He was in total apathy about doing anything about his own thinkingness. Anybody who says the psychiatrist or the psychoanalyst or the psychologist is much of an enemy should realize that these people are so busy defeating themselves that they don't need any help in that direction. As individuals, they work at it all the time because they basically believe that there's nothing can be done. All they can do is sit there and observe it. And the psychiatrist has gone just a little bit better. He says, well, my mission in the society, if he ever articulates this, is simply to make people a little more quiet. That's the highest goal he can attain in his own mind. Well, Homo sapiens in general must be in this frame of mind rather generally because his basic attitudes toward the mind and so on are getting more and more colored by propaganda being thrown at him one kind or another. So the first thing we have to do with a student is to find out whether or not he thinks anything can happen. Well, the fact that he came in and enrolled tells us that he thinks that maybe something can happen. That all by itself tends to get over that. But the thing he's looking for in the first few days or even weeks of training is to see if anything happened. And he's generally looking so hard to find out if something happened or if something can happen that he really doesn't have much chance to observe what to do or what he is doing. In other words, no certainty in his own mind is there orienting a certainty on these various basic training steps. But something is very peculiar about the first of these training steps. Somewhere up the line on the COM course, somewhere up the line on INDOC, just by delivering and receiving commands and acknowledgement, just by doing a few of these things, he finds out he can do something. He finds out that something can happen to him. It's not unusual for a student to suddenly receive an acknowledgement for the first time in his life. It's not unusual. Furthermore, he has the accomplishment of actually gaining something. Now, if we use 8C on our students as they come into that first week, sometimes given later in the course, of processing the intensive by a graduating student, we run 8C. It's pretty routine for something to happen while somebody's being run on 8C. Usually something happens. On tone 40HC, it'd be almost impossible to keep something from happening somewhere along the line. All right, so we do have that. Furthermore, we have the actual realities of data. There's a click of this datum and a sudden cognition on that datum, and something else seems right to us, and something else seems good, or something else seems like it fits. And thus we can walk forward with a reality. Now, all we mean when we say a reality on Scientology is a reality on life. And if life becomes more real to a person, or actually much less real, we have certainly changed somebody one way or the other. But our mission is not, in the first weeks beyond that intensive, to convince anybody of anything. Probably a student wouldn't become very well convinced that Scientology was doing anything for anybody until he really did get some raw meat of one kind or another and started to run CCH on them. That is really the first time his reality gets large. Some of the things that happen while you're running CCH, some of the things people come out of, and some of the changes they experience as a result of it are, of course, very good convincers. But in order to observe any of those things, a fellow has to be able to do CCH very well. So we have a secondary line of reality, the reality on the increasing abilities of those students around us. We can watch this happening. Or we can see somebody flubbing and not understand why the devil he's flubbing. We haven't a clue. Until he goes back through the comm course again, perhaps. And he suddenly realizes, you know, acknowledgement. What is this thing, acknowledgement? What am I supposed to acknowledge? And he begins to look this thing over, and he never acknowledged a pre-clear before, and he starts acknowledging people now, and he understands this rather cleanly and clearly, and suddenly he finds out that he has been neglecting this part of his toolkit. And there are some other parts that he might give attention to, too, he finds. And so we could move him up again. Therefore, the design of the course works this way. A person should go through comm course, go through upper indoc, go through comm course, go through upper indoc, and with a perfect examination, then should be admitted into CCH division. Therefore, he isn't learning something as rough as CCH while he is still learning the parts. In turbulence, an upset will occur every time that we, in one way or another, violate these various tenets. If an individual is not ready to run CCH processes, they backfire, and they do something more than this. They don't work on the pre-clear. That I've learned the hard way. I've actually seen somebody audited on a mechanical machine basis on Give Me Your Hand without any change. And I've seen the same auditor with his ears knocked down on the subject of his acknowledgments and so forth, straightened up, flying right, go back on the same pre-clear, and with the same process, produce fantastically good results. Now that is interesting. Well, it tells us a lot of things. It tells us that the process all by itself isn't going to do a thing. It could sit in a book for the next 8 billion years without clearing a single individual or removing a single ache or pain for the entire human race. Providing it's here. Do you see that? It has to be administered. But the administration of it is usually overlooked by a student as being therapeutic. I'll give you an example. I had somebody very recently that I was coaching, and I was checking through his basic steps way down at the bottom of the ladder, Dear Alice. And I had gotten Dear Alice so that it didn't look too horrible and moved him up to acknowledgments. You know, I couldn't get an acknowledgment out of the fellow. He was sitting there saying good, and he was sitting there and saying okay, and so on, and he was splattering the room and with these goods and okays, and he even went so far as to pick up my chin and tell me to stop. He had heard it. And I asked him a horrible question. I said, tell me what you are acknowledging each time you acknowledge. What are you acknowledging? He did a very foolish thing. I read a line out of Alice, and he said, good. I acknowledged, and he quoted the line. And I flunked him. He couldn't understand it. He was horribly offended. And I said the next line out of Alice. And I just read it. I read it. I wasn't being an auditor. I was, after all, being the coach and examiner. I just read this line. Said, oh, dear, what shall I do, said Alice. And he said, good, good, fine, good, good. I heard you, good, fine, good, good. I don't know what I'm doing, said Alice. And I flunked him. And he was even more offended. So I read the next line. I don't know, said the Mad Hatter. I just read it. And he said, good, good, fine, wonderful, fine, I heard that. I don't know, said the Mad Hatter. And I flunked him. And he said, what am I doing wrong? I said, one, you are not listening to my coaching instruction, and that is that you are to acknowledge something. You are to acknowledge what I am doing. And I will give you a pass the moment you do. And it put him into a dreadful calm lag, which went on for the next 15 minutes. And he beat this one to death. And I'd read him long, connected sentences of one kind or another, you know, and the Mad Hatter ran down the hill and dumped his watch into the tea party and so forth and so on. And he'd say, good, 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 fine, fine. And he says, but I don't know how you want me to say it. And I said, I don't want you to say it in any way. I merely want you to acknowledge what I am doing. Now, what am I doing? And he finally said, you're reading. And I said, all right. And so Alice ran down the hill and the Mad Hatter got dumped into the tea party and he finally says, good. And I stopped reading because he had for the first time acknowledged the fact that I was sitting there reading. And he walked around the room, and you could see the foggy clouds dispersing and gathering and dispersing. You see, a book would be very like a preclear's bank, wouldn't it? And the preclear could be reading the book, and if you acknowledged what he was reading, you'd be acknowledging the circuit, wouldn't you? But if you acknowledged what the preclear was doing, he would stop. And this person went out and he located some people who were doing things on my instruction. He went up to them and acknowledged them. He acknowledged that they were standing there doing something. And I had told him to observe it. It's very interesting. If you acknowledge the fact that a person is sitting down, he will quite often get up. Why? Because the acknowledgement is an approval of his execution for a command you didn't even give him. You've approved of him. You said, that's fine, that's okay, that's wonderful. Fellow sitting down. You can walk up to anybody and do this. As long as you don't acknowledge an artificiality, or a via, or a complication, or a circuit of some sort, as long as you acknowledge what this living being, this Thetan, is at that moment doing, he now has permission to do something else, and he doesn't have to go on with it. You know, the most maddening thing in the world is to live with somebody who never acknowledges you, because if you get mad at him, he never says that you've gotten mad at him. This he won't admit. You start telling him some long, drawn-out thing that you wish you hadn't thought of in the first place, and the fellow never acknowledges the fact that you are on some long, drawn-out thing that you wish you had never started in the first place. The person never gives you any stops of any kind. Life is on a total continuum of anything that begins. Now, he may say, oh, you say the atom bombs are now being stored in Eisenhower's bedroom. Well, that's wonderful. That's good. And what have you got to do? You got to go on talking about Eisenhower's bedroom. He tells you something he saw at the movies, and you just go on and on with this. If you acknowledge, you said, good, meaning, fine, you're telling me something you saw at the movies. Do you know he won't tell you the plot? Look at the tremendous saving in time and eardrums that this effects. Huh? Now, it isn't that you just want to stop people, but how do you suspect you're ever going to make a pre-clear well of anything if you don't acknowledge what he's doing? There he sits with these little circuits going around, 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 the little tapes running by, and the elevators going up and down, and so forth. And if you say you're sitting there, if you just say, you're sitting there looking at something, if you just say, good, good, you're sitting there looking at something, you know? You're good with its intention says you're sitting there looking at something. You know, you'll stop looking at them. You want to know how to key out a circuit? Learn how to acknowledge. Complicated, isn't it? Or is it so simple that you'd miss it? And this is the basic lesson of obnosis. You acknowledge what the pre-clear is doing. Little baby. Pliny's crib, crying, 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 crying. Everybody comes around and says, shush, shush, it's all right, honey. Nobody's going away and leave you. Yak, 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 yak. Saw a little baby doing this one day. I walked up the crib and I said, good, fine. He shut up. Why'd he shut up? Because I said, I heard you crying. I heard the crying. I know what you're doing. You're sitting there crying. It's a very funny thing, isn't it? Because nearly every auditor thinks he's supposed to change something horrendously. Well, the acknowledgement immediately disobeys this one. You want to change something or get rid of something? All you have to do is say, well, that's it. And that axiom, which has to do with as-isness, takes place at once. Magic. But if you don't say, yes, I see this pre-clear sitting there in the middle of all these circuits, if you haven't got some basic idea that it's all right with you if he's sitting there in the middle of all these circuits and you've seen him sitting there in the middle of all these circuits, he'll never climb out of one of them. Not one of them. Well, we get a new student. He's had 25 hours run on him with 8C. He's come into the comm course. On his second day, he is taught acknowledgement. Wow, that's awful quick, isn't it? Look what I've just told you. Is he going to pick this up on the second day? Why, he's never heard of a circuit in the first place. To amount to anything, he doesn't know too much about a Thetan. He thinks maybe his Thetan has been left home. He hopes it hasn't been because he'll need it in the course. Here it is on the second day, and he's expected to pick all this up, huh? No, he's not going to pick all this up on a second day, not by a jugful. But he might possibly pick it up on the second day of his third week if he took the comm course over again, right? He might have some clue by that time, mightn't he? All right. So we have somebody who is sitting there being run on give me your hand. And this person is going, wow, 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 wow. Well, you thank him for having given you his hand. He gets some sort of an idea. Here's another aspect of acknowledgement. He gets an idea that he might have had a hand in it one way or the other. Make a pun. You mean this fellow actually suspects that I am really capable of offering to him my hand, me, not some body machinery, but me. He suspects that I could. And after a little while, he decides to try it. But if your intention in thanking him doesn't include the fact that he sat there and watched you do it, he hangs up in it. You see that? You acknowledge exactly what is going on. Well, you certainly have to know what's going on to acknowledge what's going on. Well, what is going on? Is you manipulated a fellow's arm in an invitation for him to do it, and he didn't do it, and you said, good, that's all right with you too. And just that much inability and just that much apathy goes off the case every time you did it. Now, why do you suppose, not holding myself up as any paragon of excellent auditing, but in Phoenix one time we ran a little contest without really realizing we were running a contest. It was all by accident. Everybody was running the same processes, including myself, on incoming preclears. We had several auditors on staff, and I was running preclears 1 hour per day for 5 days, and they were running them 25 hours in the week, 5 hours per day. The ratio was 1 to 5, and my results on the preclears were slightly larger than their results in the 25. In other words, 5 hours of auditing was doing as much for them as 25 hours, and we were all running the same processes. What do you suppose this was all about? Well, we found acknowledgement. I was acknowledging them. This was one of the major factors. It didn't worry me that somebody came in, psycho. I couldn't have cared less. I would look at the person and say, all right, you're nuts. And do you know this is such a fantastically interesting factor? It is so fantastic in its final rundown that an auditor who is worried by a person's psychosis or aberrations or disabilities or something of this character rarely does anything for him at all. If you've got to make everybody sane, you won't make anybody sane because you never admit that they're crazy. You understand? So you never have any starting point for your auditing. Well, therefore, you have to know something about the mechanics of the human being. You have to know something about the existence of a thetan. You have to know something about a body. You have to know something about a mind. You have to know something about the pictures. You have to know these various things. You look them over, you know what is going on, and if you yourself are not so involved, but what you can look, your acknowledgement all by itself blows anything wrong with the machinery that is wrong with it. Probably this is the only mechanism Christ knew, if he existed. Interesting comment, isn't it? And that's only 1/10 or something like that of your basic material. Now, when we look over this, it is actually a student's responsibility to feel and sound out and ask himself and look it over whether or not he feels he's got all this down pretty well. And if he hasn't got this down pretty well, he would be much better off getting it down better before he steps into CCH. Why? Because he'll be all wound up in re-stimulation. He'll be all wound up in trying to understand intentions while somebody is trying to teach him something about, let us say, a remedy of having a subjective. If he's still worried about intentions all the way up the line up there, why, he just hasn't grasped that point yet, then nothing is going to get past that roadblock. Don't you say yes? But something else he's worried about. He won't get to his preclear. Now, it's my responsibility to make the best auditors I know how to make. And therefore, it is not a total responsibility on a student's part to get along, and he shouldn't be blamed simply because he isn't getting along rapidly enough. At the same time, he shouldn't consider that it's my total responsibility. Nevertheless, it's my responsibility to make the best auditors I can make. This sometimes makes me a little rough in dreaming up a course and straightening out the curves in a course. And I sometimes will make a sudden change in a course the moment I discover that it isn't headed in a smooth direction. I never stand by idly and watch one go off the rails just because it would upset people if I made a sudden change. Do you understand that? If you do, you will understand some of the things that have gone on from time to time in training. I find something is just departing so far from it that I cannot possibly follow it myself. I yank it back hurriedly, quickly, try to straighten it out right now. Now, maybe this is hard on people, but remember, I'm not processing people when I'm training them. Training today is rough, and I merely wanted to talk to you to tell you that I recognize this too. I'm cognizant of this. It's not so tough that it will knock anybody off, but it is sufficiently tough that it will cause somebody to stand back now and then and say, it's just not possible to go any further along that track. And I know the worst thing I could do would be to encourage any instructor to ever pat anybody on the shoulder and say, you poor chap. You don't have to go back into high school indoc. We'll get you by somehow. Why not just shoot him with salt? Or why not drown him slowly? It'd be kinder. No, the most unkind thing you could do would be to train a Scientologist poorly, and I've known that, and therefore I've fought this battle of how we train people for a very long time. It has been quite a fight. It's quite a fight. Therefore, I want to ask you to bear with me on this. We're just now working bugs out of it. I know it can be done now because I've done it already since the first of the year. And it has been very, very satisfying, let me assure you, to see somebody who was, well, let's be blunt, who was a lousy auditor. Just terrible. Snap up into it and just be able to dust off preclears just left and right. For instance, I had one girl on a staff who had never been able to face up to a psycho. Well, we don't accept psychos in the HGC, but when we look around and realize that even Will Menninger, the great, you're supposed to get down, you know, and bow three times toward Mecca or Topeka when you say that. The great Will Menninger himself has confessed that he's crazy. You realize he did, don't you? Because he did. Front pages of all papers in the United States. Quite interesting. He said, everybody is crazy some of the time, which, of course, includes Menninger. An interesting diagnosis of his own case. When even this man admits that everybody is crazy, and everybody knows he's the great authority, And then it's obvious that some day or another, a crazy person is going to come across your horizon. And some of them are so convincing, you never saw such obsessed sanity. Obsessive sanity. They walk in, they're so sane, they're totally well-dressed, they do exactly the right things. Their communication is almost communication. They're terribly convincing. And you sit there, in spite of all your training, experience, observation, everything else, you say, fine, I'd be very happy to give you some auditing. I'd be very happy to give you some auditing. It's all right with me. Give me your hand. Boom! Now, that happens to any of us and all of us. Well, it's an important thing to know that sooner or later you're going to get one, but it's also important to know that in spite of any testing or anything else, that one occasionally walks into a clinic, and so this one did in London, and this girl had had a brother who was psychotic and who very definitely knew how rough and how horrible and how terrible and how miserable and how fast you should run whenever you saw psychotics. I knew how horrible that was. And a lady came in who was only mildly crazy. She didn't even scream in high C. I mean, she only got up to B or A. She wasn't really crazy. And this auditor inadvertently was assigned. And they already knew about this auditor, that this auditor couldn't stand a psycho. But the auditor was inadvertently assigned to the lady and marched in and started to run, "Give me your hand." Well, you know anybody in Scientology, you know nobody's ever able to run down auditors to me, by the way. They just don't get any place doing it. The excellent reason that I consider it's pretty terrific for a guy just to want to help. Yeah, and a guy who tries to, that's fabulous. We're really going upscale, departing from Homo sap when we find that. And so I didn't say anything in particular, since we just were getting into the swing on Indoc, upper Indoc, and took the director of processing, and it took another auditor to just hold that pair in session. But the auditor kept walking back in, you understand? I mean, you know, fly out the door and be shoved back in the door again. She'd walk back in, and she'd try to get the process going. But it wasn't doing anything, and she was getting nowhere, and the screams were ruining, utterly ruining the roof. And I got a hold of this auditor after two or three days of this, and I thought, well, she's willing, but there's no reason to get her pared down to nothing. And I said, you take a rag doll and going home on the bus tonight, and at home, you flatten tone 40 on an object. Do it now. She did, over the weekend, and the psycho had 3 weeks. So the second week, the auditor went in there, and you know something? Ran the case right straight up from psychosis up through neurosis into a very good facsimile of sanity, exteriorized her. Very nice show. All her fear of psychosis had gone out on what? Tone 40 on an object. Well, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Must be that psychosis has something to do with mess. Must be that a fear of mess leads one not to confront psychosis. Must be that the chaos of this universe somehow or other enters into somebody and makes them behave in some way. And people who cannot address objects can't address psychosis. There must be some cross-coordination. Because that's what she did. That was all she did. She hasn't been afraid of psychos since. Now, it would be a great disservice to you if I let anybody go through to a point where he thought he was trained, that I couldn't call back or retrain or train right well or in class. If I know how to teach them how to front up to the roughest pre-clears they'll have, it would be a very remiss thing on my part if I didn't do so. That's where my responsibility begins and ends in training. To teach a person as best I know how. That I have always done. Well, I know how a little better now, and it's much tougher on people. But I would consider it a dirty trick on an auditor and all of his PCs if I didn't do my very best by him. Well, when a student is having a rough time, I like to know about it because that time might be eased off considerably. I mean, we might smooth that out much more easily. But if a student is consistently having a rough time, then my help to him is give him a hard shove up through it. Work him harder. Put him through the inbox more arduously than before. Because I know that now that I might be able to hold their hands and I might be able to tell them many consoling things, and I for sure could audit them. But it'd never make an auditor out of them. And with 2 billion people alive today, and with the immortal words, Will Menninger, the dean of all psychotics, we must realize that there are 2 billion preclears and more on Earth today. And we've got enough preclears. And I'm not trying to make preclears when I take somebody in the academy, when I push instructors on it to try to train them. I'm not trying to make another preclear. We got enough of them. There's plenty. Abundance on all sides. You wouldn't believe this if you listened to some of the old auditors in California. They steal each other's preclears out there just as though they were scarce. As a matter of fact, they aren't. And to make another preclear would, again, be a disservice to people we are trying to make into auditors. So an individual sort of should reconcile himself to the fact that he's becoming another breed of cat, that it's a rough way, that he probably will never be the same again, that he probably won't be a bit better off to really know how to audit and handle people, that it probably means a discommunication with the human race, that it's a terrible thing that is occurring to him, that it's very, very rough, it's very arduous, and it's impossible. I'll agree with him all the way and invite him to get in there and pitch and get on through these various basic steps and learn them very well. I wanted to tell you basically nothing more than the fact that the HPA-HCA course level has been developing rather fast and has been developing paralleling inabilities to perform as people got up into CCH. But I think we have it pretty well licked now, and I wanted you to be the first to know this fact. I doubt even that your instructors know about it yet, so I for sure wanted to tell you. Thank you.